Certainly do praise God for new beginnings, new opportunities, new birth. Yes, new birth and new birth. Ah, there was a double entendre, somewhat a double meaning. Yeah, new birth. Do you remember when you placed your trust in the Lord Jesus? That was a new beginning. When you first realized that you were in love with the person that you're married to, another new beginning. And then when you were married and you said, you know, we're committed to having a family and raising our family in a godly way. Again, new beginnings. We are heading towards a new heaven and a new earth, something that we read on the Christmas program evening. Last Sunday morning, we had a beautiful time of worship in song, special music, scripture reading. And this morning, we were reminded again in song, just the marvel of God's goodness and allowing us to be able to worship Him, the Ancient of Days. It's great to have Shay here. Thank you, Shay and Charlene, for coming, making the trip. And then, of course, extended family for Eric and Evelyn and supporting them and their time here and dedicating Chloe. John and Jen, where are you? Right there, Mom and Dad with you and siblings, and it's good to have you here this morning. Rudy and Laura, great to have you here this morning with Mom and Dad. And so they're going to be coming up a little bit later. We want to begin with a word of prayer and again, just commit our time to the Lord. Now, you greeted people here this morning. And, you know, it's very interesting. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to do it at the resurrection. Somehow I don't tend to think that we're going to be using some cultural greeting as we know it now. I don't exactly know how it's going to happen, but I somewhat envision hugging people that I haven't seen for a long time. Of course, I'm looking forward to the Savior saying, welcome to your new home. Welcome to the new heaven and new earth. Again, you have to stop and pause. And with all the distractions around you, it might be a little difficult. But it's something that I trust that maybe you've taken some time to reflect upon. Life is but a vapor. Here we are this morning. We're going to hold little babies in our hands. And how quick they grow up. And next thing you know, you see your children raising their own, sorry, it's a little emotional for me too, raising your own children. And you pray for them. And you pray that they would raise their families in a godly way. Hopefully better than you have. At least in my case, I feel that way. And yet it's a privilege to be able to stand together and to pray to our God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for each one. We've taken a moment to shake hands and to greet one another, to wish one another a happy new year. And yet, Lord, we're anticipating a new age. We're anticipating Your coming. And between here and then, we are praying for one another. We're praying for loved ones. We're praying for the hurting, the weak, the fatherless, the oppressed. And at the same time, we're seeking to raise our families in a godly way, seeking to honor You with every thought and every word and every deed. Bless our time here this morning. And pray that You would be honored and glorified as we open Your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we rejoice with Eric and Evelyn with John and Jennifer, and with Rudy and Laura. They seek to honor their Lord in their public declaration, in their desire to nurture their children in the ways of God, the ways of their Savior. So I say, well, do we have a model? Joseph and Mary didn't exactly leave us with a template. There isn't really a clear picture of what that might look like. We don't see the ins and outs. In fact, some of the pictures that we have in Scripture in terms of the raising of children is rather discouraging and alarming. We see Jacob favoring his son Joseph and the fallout that resulted with that. And yet God's grace was clearly evident. Joseph and Mary, shortly after having this newborn babe, the one that was lying in the manger, the one whom we know today to be the Lord Jesus, the one who would take away our sins. Shortly after his birth, Joseph and Mary, having subscribed to the teachings of Scripture as they understood it, going back to the Old Testament Mosaic law, they went to the temple to offer a sacrifice. And so if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. Luke chapter 2. We read the passage in Mark, and we see Jesus' love for children. And something very interesting about parenthood. And when God created man and woman and asked them to be joined together and to allow them to be fruitful and to have the responsibility of nurturing, God was giving us a little bit of an inkling, a little bit of an inkling of what it might be like to work with imperfect human beings, to work with people who don't always understand our own hearts. Now, God's heart, of course, is perfect. And we'd have to confess, although we know that to be true, it's not like we understand it all the time. In fact, there's things that God permits in each of our lives that we wonder, what's going on here, Lord? And so here, Joseph and Mary, their commitment to raising this little baby. Chapter 2, verse 21 of Luke. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. You read the picture, the scene, and you're somewhat saying, we're not doing that here this morning, are we? No, we're not. We have somewhat of our own unique customs. So I say, what was going on in their hearts? What's going on in Eric and Evelyn's heart? John and Jennifer, Rudy and Laura. Well, like Joseph and Mary, they have a heartfelt desire to honor God with the gift of the child that God has permitted them to have. The children, in the case of John and Jenny, they've got three children. Yeah. Seems like yesterday you, John and Jenny, were up here with Matthew. Yeah. And so they had this heartfelt desire to honor God with this gift. And yes, their offering was an act of obedience, but it was also an act of consecration, an act of saying, Lord, this child is your child. This child, although given to me, I give back to you for you to do with what you see fit, so that you, Lord, through that child, would be able to accomplish your purposes. And so they were giving their firstborn back to God from whom the Son came. They were committing themselves to honoring God in a prayerful dependence for the wisdom and the strength to be the parents that God wanted them to be. Now, we realize that there are a few times and maybe only a few opportunities in life where we get a chance to bless our children, but you should seek to bless your children as often as you possibly can. And you may not have a ceremony, but it may be a place where you can give them, remind them that you love them, that you care for them. And so when they're born, you hold that newborn and you're reminded of the miraculous birth, the conception, the pregnancy, everything that goes on, all that God has permitted in that time. You say, thank you, Lord. I want to bless this child that very day. Maybe you'll think of a time, a teachable moment when you had with your children and they came to understand the grace of God and you say, I want to pray with you. And so there you are blessing them again and you're verbalizing to God your thanksgiving and you're thanking God that your child has come to understand the grace of God. And you're seeing them mature and they want to become disciples. They want to be sold out. They want to commit their lives fully to being teachable, moldable, wanting to be more like Jesus. And they say, I want to get baptized. I want to turn my back on the way this world thinks, and I want to follow Jesus. And that comes not with some small price. And you say, well, maybe another time I might bless them is when they've persevered and they've gone through high school or college and university, and I want to bless them then, and I want them to know that I'm proud of them. Yes, that's another time. And maybe when they get engaged and you realize that they are understanding the commitment to another person, and so they commit themselves in this engagement, say, I want to be your lifelong partner, supporter, and, yeah, friend. And then you watch them get married, and again, you get to bless them. And your desire for them is that they would have a marriage that would be likened to the love of Christ for his church, where a man and a woman actually give their lives in such a way that they know that it's a love that's bounded together, but yet unbounded love in the sense that it is committed to even giving their lives away. And then there's another time when we might want to bless our children. And says we are approaching the end of life. And we see that in the case of Jacob over there in Genesis 49. Scriptures teach us that we as believers are children of God. And throughout the Word of God, we see many references to being blessed by God. You know, whether it's Psalm 1. Maybe Psalm 1 is not a familiar psalm for you, but it should be. It should be a psalm that you want to go to every day of your life. Happy is the man. No, we read blessed is the man, but happy is the man. Then the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, clear references to God blessing us. And so in Mark chapter 10 that Frank read with us this morning, we see the Lord Jesus blessing these little children. In Matthew 19:13, we read that the Lord Jesus actually prayed for these children. And so today for Eric and Evelyn, yes, for John and Jennifer, for Rudy and Laura, this public declaration of your children hopefully is going to remind you of a few important lessons that you're going to actually learn through life. Your children are going to be a reminder to you that they are created in the image of God, and not unlike you, they have desires. A child, again, is a reminder to each of us as parents of the purpose and the blessing of marriage. Our children are a reminder of our responsibility before the Lord for the very gifts that He's blessed us with. And then a child is such a subtle reminder of our dependence upon God. We need the Lord to help us raise these children, not destroy them, because we're so imperfect and selfish. I speak on my behalf. A child is a reminder that life is a learning process where we receive undeserved blessings and where accountability is very important. A child is a reminder that life is to be enjoyed. We had two of our grandchildren over at our place the other day, stayed overnight, and there was lots of giggling, lots of laughter. It was bordering on ridiculous, but again, who of us hasn't done that? A child is a reminder of the love of God, the love that God has for us, and the joy He has in calling us His children. A child is a reminder that we must pray daily for the wisdom, for the love, and the patience that will be needed if we hope to do a good job in the raising of our children. And then lastly, a child is a reminder that heaven belongs to those who simply trust in the Lord Jesus for the gift of eternal life. Now, we're not suggesting here this morning that because you as parents are dedicating your children to the Lord, that that's going to guarantee that they're going to walk with the Lord all their lives. No, that's not what we're saying. We're simply affirming your desire as parents, your desire to nurture your children in the ways of the Lord. And we affirm that. We believe that that's exactly what you should do, and we want to stand with you in that regard. And so we want to give particular attention to God's gift of life and the birth of these children. Eric and Evelyn, John and Jennifer, Rudy and Laura have declared their desire to publicly present their children, Chloe Raylin, Naomi Everly, Hannah Joy, and Noah Jackson, to God in the presence of His people, to dedicate themselves as parents to nurturing their children in the love of Christ. And they invite your partnership, yours and mine, this morning, with regards to this high privilege and this awesome responsibility. And so we give to God our thanks for the marvelous beauty, the beautiful gifts of life found in Chloe and Naomi, Hannah and Noah. And while relying upon God's promises and working with Him, we together with them as parents, we as His church, are seeking to help them raise their family, and so that these parents would raise their children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. And so we're going to pray God's fatherly care and abundant blessing upon Chloe, upon Naomi, Hannah, and Noah as they continue to grow. Turn in your Bibles now to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I'd like to share just a few scriptures with you that deal with the importance of children. Not unfamiliar, and yet they should be verses that should be underlined in your Bible for us as parents. They're going to be constant reminders. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Sons," and of course it means children, "are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him." And so, in essence, we need to realize that children are a gift from God. Matthew 18, verse 5. Matthew, is that your name? Where is Matthew? Is he back there? Oh, he's downstairs. Okay. "Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." Matthew 18, 10. "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." We could have gone to Matthew 18 this morning. We got one more verse there. Matthew 18:14, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. And so for each of us who look at children, every time a child runs past you, full of energy, no care. And you take the moment, and you might chase them and play with them and laugh with them and tickle them. You're welcoming them just the way the Lord Jesus did. And you're caring for them just the way God does. It's not the Father's will that these children should ever be lost to Him. And so every time we as a church family walk with our children together, we're helping the parents, but we're also blessing those children and we're doing God's work. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 48. Again, familiar verses. Verses that I always bring up when it comes to child dedication. The reason is because I want you to understand that this whole concept of raising our families is based upon an Old Testament principle. It goes all the way back to the fruit that God wanted Adam and Eve to experience to be able to raise a family in a godly way. And we know that it didn't turn out quite like that. I'm not saying that they didn't do their best. I'm saying that there was a lot of chaos. And so here God has chosen His people, the nation of Israel. He says, they're going to be the picture that I want the world to see. And I'm going to give them clear expressions and what it is that I expect them to do in the raising of their children. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You sort of say, well, that's a command. Well, I'll tell you what. It might be a command, but it comes with a passion plea from God. You can't make your children do that. You might be able to exhort them and you might command them, but ultimately it's going to be your love for God that they're going to see. Your love to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. They're to be heartfelt response to God's already overwhelming love for us. The overwhelming love of God. Impress them on your children, meaning talk about it a lot. More than you do about so many other things. This should be one of the things you should be talking about a lot. Do you see how God loves us? Gave us a sunrise and a sunset. The hoarfrost that was out there this morning was by God's design. As you were driving down the street here, you were seeing the witness of God's power. You couldn't have said, on January 1st, I predict there's going to be this kind of a day. No, God said, I want you to see it and I want to bless you with that. And so every child should recognize, Mom and Dad see that. And they're thanking God for that beautiful picture. Later on in life, maybe they'll do that with their kids. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. A couple things we might say about this passage here this morning is that, first of all, the Lord is our God. The Lord is our God and Him alone, no other gods before you. And God would expect that out of the fact that He loves you, that you might love Him. That you might love your God with all your heart, with every fiber of your being, with all your strength. And then as you consider the Lord's guidance in your life, you understand that you're going to need to take the time to teach your children, explain things to them. You're going to have to talk about the principles for living that are found in His Word. How do you know how to do and act the way that you do, Dad? It's because I'm taking the time to understand how God wants me to respond as a father-son. How God wants me to be patient. How He wants me to be kind. Yes, He wants me to have to discipline you from time to time, but it's not what I delight in, just as God doesn't delight in it. When are you going to do it? Well, you're going to do it at home. You're going to do it out on hikes. You're going to do it at the rink. You're going to do it after school. You're going to do it at bedtime before breakfast. And you'll always be looking, Eric and Evelyn, John and Jen, Rudy and Laura, for those teachable moments. You know that your children are going to want your undivided attention. You're going to think at times, oh, I've got time for that later. But when that child wants your attention, it's because they need your attention. You say, well, that's pretty selfishly motivated. All they want to do is monopolize all my time. No, not necessarily. No, they're wanting to bond with you, walk with you, love you. And when you reciprocate that love, you'll have more teachable moments. You'll need to allow your whole life as a parent to be saturated with the Word of God. And you can't do it without the Lord. Unless the Lord builds a house, its labors build in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, watchmen stand guard in vain, Psalm 127. And so our attempts to raise a family without God's help is a wasted effort. You're not able to do it out of your own homespun wisdom. You cannot impart eternal and unchanging truth in the life of a child based upon your own wisdom. You'll need to find it outside of yourself, and God has given it to you through His Word. John 3:5 says this, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. And so moms and dads, you need to realize that your child will need to be born of the Spirit of God if he's going to be part of God's future kingdom. Likely you'll pray about that a lot. Likely you'll spend time thinking about, how do I help this child understand that this is the most important relationship they can possibly ever have in life? So the passage we read over there, Mark chapter 10, one that Frank read to us, says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And so we're not to hinder any child from inquiring of the things of God. You'll find out that they are as curious. Wow. They've got questions that you and I never thought we had. They just remind us that we still have questions. And so for you as parents that are dedicating your children, your intent, and we know that, is with this in mind, is that you want to commit your children to the Lord. So I'm going to ask the parents to come up at this time with their children. And our prayer here this morning is that your faith and your integrity of purpose may be clear to each one here in the room. Future Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. You say, are you talking about the kids or are you talking about the parents? Yes. I'm talking about them all. Yeah. So, moms and dads. Yeah. Yeah, you can take that away. Thank you. Ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to get a mic here because you're going to get an opportunity to pray here in a moment. The other one, Mike? The other mic, Mike? So I'm going to get you to hold that for your husband there for a moment. Yeah. Do you wish to publicly present Chloe, Naomi, Hannah, and Noah to God in recognition of the high privilege and unique responsibility that God has granted you? Okay. Do you recognize and solemnly declare your dependence upon Almighty God for the wisdom, the help, and the blessing that you will need to guide and nurture Chloe, right? Naomi, Hannah, and, sorry, did I say Noah already? Sorry, and Noah and Hannah, but I'm trying to get them in the right order here. Okay. And how would you answer that? We do. Okay. Do you promise and commit yourselves to teach Chloe, Naomi, Hannah, and Noah the truths and obligations of the Christian faith through purposeful prayer and exemplary lives, and that you seek to lead them to a personal faith in God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And so you, as a congregation, have heard their desire to present these children, Chloe, Naomi, Hannah, and Noah, to God and to dedicate themselves to their Christian nurture. But they also are counting on us to walk with them, to tickle our kids, to watch over them. When you're in that Sunday school class and they're not quite behaving the way they should, you come and tell Mom and Dad what's going on. But more importantly, to be patient, to be loving, to be kind. And so they want our commitment as God's people to assist them in their efforts. And so do you as a congregation accept the responsibility of assisting these parents in loving, teaching, and training these children in the ways of God so that in due time they might receive the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And if so, would you signify that truth by accepting that responsibility by standing with them at this time? Let's remain standing here for a moment. I'm going to have a brief word of prayer. Then I'm going to ask the dads if you would like to pray. A couple of the dads have said they would, so that would be fine. Gracious God, we come before you this morning, and we realize that through your parental love, you have brought Chloe, Naomi, Hannah, and Noah into being. And by these very parents, who are now offering them back to you, recognizing that the lives of these children have been entrusted into their hands, we as your people, this congregation at Faith Evangelical Bible Church, pray that you'll receive Chloe, Naomi, Hannah, and Noah into your fatherly care. And through the duration of their lives, we ask that you guide them in the ways of truth and the life of Jesus Christ. Graciously mold them in the formative years. Give them the will to resist temptation and lead them to experience the forgiveness and eternal life that's found only in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we here as your people join our prayers, and we ask that you would watch over these parents and grant them wisdom, and likewise for grandparents too. We pray that the Christian home and the fellowship of believers in which these children will be raised might be a constant demonstration of and an inspiration toward the Christian faith and life. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord, we solemnly commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of all these children that you've entrusted to our care. Receive Chloe, Naomi, Hannah, and Noah. These children, these are acts of dedication in the love and name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Eric if he would lead in a prayer of dedication for his daughter right now.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day. I thank you for the precious gift of Chloe that you've given us. And Father, we recognize that she's a gift from you. Father, give us wisdom as parents to raise her in a way that honors you, that pleases you. Pray that she come to believe in you for eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
That her life would seek to reflect and glorify your name.
Yeah.
Just thank you for our church family for standing with us, and for the others up here to raise our kids in a godly way. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for this day that you've blessed us into this new year. And I want to thank you for Noah that you've given us, him, and that he's been such a blessing for us. Lord, I pray that you guide us as parents to be able to teach him the right way and to teach him to guide you and to worship you and to bless him throughout his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this day, this opportunity to come before church, friends, and family to dedicate Hannah and Naomi to you. And I pray that you give us strength and wisdom to raise these children in your way. Amen.
Lord, again, we come to you today and we thank you for the grace that you extend to each and every one of us. You help us as parents to walk with our children, teach them your truths. And we know that it's to the degree that we are willing to bow the knee before you, to learn from you. And so I pray for these parents that they would be on their knees before you daily on behalf of their children, on behalf of each other, to pray for one another and pray with each other, to encourage each other and to love one another, and that they would seek you for the wisdom and strength to raise their children. Thank you for their commitment. Thank you for their love. And thank you, Lord, for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning, Noah. How are you? Well, good morning to you. Lord bless you, brother. Good morning. Hi there.
You want grandpa, don't you? Anyway, let's give them a hand and we'll let them go on down. Okay? Be sure to greet them. Be sure to let them know that you're thinking of them and praying for them. And so in the prayer digest that we send out, the prayer calendar that we send out every month, these are families that are represented there. And so now you have a little bit of an idea of who they are and their kids and so on. So anyway, Happy New Year. May the Lord bless you and may you anticipate the Lord's coming. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you. Good rest of the day.